We closed 0 new clients this month.
No churn though, so that's positive.
And we were busy because as per last update, January update, we had closed 3 new clients. With these 3 new clients and this hat I'm wearing of helping train new writers and strategists, I spend so much time editing our long form blog posts for clients, 2,000, 3,000 words, you know, and it's like close editing, Zoom calls, like going over what we're doing. And it's just like so much of my day is just like that, plus just scrambling to keep up with email and all the other to-dos or whatever, and then the day ends or whatever. People listening, I'm sure, are gonna have the same response that like everyone's gonna have is like, Davish, why don't you just hire an editor? Which is something that you and I have fought about, so we'll just do it publicly on this. It is not easy to write, grow, and convert articles. Why don't you kick us off this time?
Yeah, so we're going to do February results. I can just quickly go through them. We didn't add any new clients this month, but on the positive side, we also didn't really have any churn. So kind of just a flat month, but we did have some decent conversations.
That is the most like positive Benji spin on that. If I had done that intro, I would have been like, we closed 0 new clients this month.
Hey, no churn though.
So no churn is good. Positive. No churn is good. And we were busy because as per last update, January update, we had closed 3 new clients. And that just, you know, at an agency of our size and with our operations, that takes some effort to just get them kicked off and ramped up, which we did in February. Go for it. You want to walk through the leads that we did get and then what the status of them are?
Yeah, let's see. So we have
7 leads in February.
Yeah, 7. Is it 7 total leads in February? 7 total leads in February. I think 2 of them are cold. Or no. Yeah, 2 of them are cold. 2 we have conversations with. Scheduled. 1 of them we talked to and felt like it wasn't a good fit. And then we had 1 really good conversation that we're still in talks with. And then another one that we need to schedule a call with. And then another current client that came to us and wants to expand. So that's another opportunity. And then
let me recap the numbers. Hang on before, because you were going one to another and you and I are looking at a spreadsheet that no one else is going to be seeing of our sort of our leads. So 7 leads in February. Of those, I'm seeing, I messed up our spreadsheet. 2 of these are December leads that just got put up here because the conversations were continuing. But of the 7, there are, I think 2 of them are like an active, 1 of them is in an active conversation. We have right now 3 total active conversations. The other 2 are from
4 including the existing client that wants to expand.
Yeah, so 4 including the existing client wanting to expand to a couple of their other products. And those, 1 of those is a February lead, the other ones are January and December, like older leads. That already is something to remark on, right? This type of service, there's a lead time. Like they're deciding whether to pay 10, 8K a month to start this channel, content I mean, as a channel for them. Like there's a commitment. A February lead doesn't close instantly. Sometimes they do, but usually those people are like, I've been reading Grow and Convert for 4 years. Like I'm like waiting for this moment, and now we have the budget, and they've kind of closed themselves. So that and the other ones, like if we just walk through it carefully, I'm just gonna put my cursor here so you can follow along as well. So when we say, When Benji says cold, that's someone who like we thought was somewhat qualified, but they either like stopped responding before the call we had with them or after the call. But I'm going to go through the ones that we marked as not qualified. The first one is a coding, like a development firm. And that's one that we could have entertained this lead, and we have closed some of those in the past, but we have chosen not to close any more software development companies. You want to explain why? Because you're the one that's most sort of, you have the strongest opinion on no. I think on this one, I was like, hey, Benji, let's talk to them. And you were like, nope.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a challenge. 1, we need someone technical on our team. We have limited people. that have that expertise. Two, it's just the most competitive space. It's kind of like doing marketing for our own site, where we're competing against tons of other marketers that are going after the same keywords that we are. But in the software development space, you're competing against just ridiculously high authority sites that have ranked for these keywords forever. And it's just an uphill battle. That on top of that, a lot of the agencies really don't have differentiation when it comes to software development. So there's really not a lot to write about from a sales copy perspective, or at least nothing that's really convincing. So yeah, we've just found that they're really not the best leads. I think I would be open to it if a software development company came to us and they truly had a different way that they built products or something that was different about their process. But from what we've seen, just most of them are just generic software development companies that have no domain rating. And so for us to take them on, I just feel like it would be very difficult.
The funny thing is, I think this one, I could be getting them mixed up precisely because of what you just said, is they all kind of sound the same, right? They're all like, we can develop your mobile app or, you know, software thing from idea to final, you know, shipment or whatever. But I think this one tried to convince us. Like, the funny thing is, they try to convince us. They're like, no. Because we're like, hey, like, thanks for reaching out. We're so sorry. We send them, I think, a very nice email. We're like, we decided a long time ago that, like, we've tried this before, and IT software development space is just uber competitive, and it takes forever to rank. It's going to be hard to get ROI on our service. Do you want us to introduce you to someone else or something like that? And they're usually like, no, hang on. We're differentiated. And then the things they say are not differentiated, right? We take into account whatever. So question to you, this is a little bit of an aside, but it could be interesting. If someone listening to this either has a software development agency service, or they're like a solo or whatever, or has a client that's a dev agency, what do you recommend to them? Do you recommend just give up on SEO?
I still think it's viable. I think software development companies that build very specific products, I think have a somewhat of an advantage, because I think the challenge is when you're just some generic software development company, you're trying to rank for, like, I don't know, mobile app development service.
Yeah.
It's just like that's extremely difficult. But if you have like a specific vertical that you service, or you develop very specific type of products, or there's questions that people would ask before they would need to build something, that's kind of where I would focus. But yeah, the general ones that kind of take all projects and have no differentiation and have no specific verticals that they work with, those are really difficult.
Okay, that was enough time spent on that, although I find it kind of interesting. Okay, the next not qualified lead was a big bank, I can say, with like a brand name. I was like, whoa, when I saw that in my email. But they were looking for someone to help start a podcast. So I was like, yeah, no. How did you even get our name? And then the next not qualified one was actually one that we spent some time talking to. So it's not qualified, but it wasn't disqualified out of the gate. They reached out about content marketing. We talked to them about that and paid search. And I think we just got some vibes. I put it as not qualified, just because in our labeling system of leads, we don't have one where it's like we DQ'd them because they seem like they have red flags. But basically the client seemed like they had red flags and was going to be a giant pain in the butt. And so us two and one of our employees who was part of the discussions were like, yeah, no, we're not dealing with them.
Yeah, I mean, which is important, because what we tend to do from just a business perspective is really vet clients from a personality standpoint and a business standpoint before we start working with them, so that even if they have a business that we think we could do well for, I think the personality issues come back to bite us, because essentially it's going to make someone on our team unhappy. And so... Yeah.
And part of we almost every episode after the churn episode, we've referenced back to it, because that's a huge deal, as per that episode. But like a non-negligible portion of our churn is us letting go of the client because they were a giant pain. And we stick by our team and say, like, no, we're not going to have our team go through it. It's not worth it. And so we want to vet that out at the beginning. But that shows that that was another, like, good lead. If that person's personality was, like, great, whatever, that was going somewhere. That could have closed and it could have been a good lead. So that's, like, not... It's not, like, marketing's fault that they happen to just sort of have some red flags. So those are the three not qualified. The cold ones, one of them just had some weird vibes from the beginning of being... You can tell sometimes just in the email exchange whether a client is, like, too cool for school. He had that vibe and then no-showed on the call. And then another one didn't respond to our initial email. That one was kind of sad. And then another one, we had a really good call. We sent a follow-up, and she just hasn't responded since the follow-up. I mean, I thought that was had a good chance of closing. That's just part of the game. And then after that, we had another one that, like, kind of passed. They said they were talking to another agency, and we just haven't heard back from them, so presumably they went with another option. So, like, now that I'm thinking through this, I think before this call, I was like, our lead situation was tough and you were convincing me otherwise. Now that I'm going through one by one, you're right. Like, this is actually was a decent number. Like, seven leads, a decent fraction of them, over half were pretty well qualified. We also have, like, leads and conversations from January and December that are still ongoing.
Yeah, we have four there, and I would be surprised if we didn't close at least one of those. So that's why I don't necessarily think we're in a horrible spot. Obviously, I would love lead volume to pick up coming into this next month, though.
Yeah, I mean, churn is going to be a big one, right? Because we said, you know, the whole premise of this show was double the agency in 2 years, so from 20 to 40. So if we want to do half of that this year, that's, you know, adding 10 clients. We added three in January, which helps. But I think that 20 is that, yeah. But anyway, we want to get one each, but then there's churn. So then is it like two each month? And then are we going to be able to fix some of our churn issues? Like, there's a lot of unknowns, but business is always better when you're consistently closing new customers, right? So let's see. But yeah, we have some good conversations going. Challenges this month? What have we been dealing with?
Man, what have we been dealing with?
I mean, I can go first.
Sure, yeah, I was going to say.
We were discussing my challenges before this conversation of, you know, prepping for this episode. I think we know we're not going to get into, like, the total details of exactly what we're ranking for and other channels that are bringing in this leads, you know, as much as folks listening may want to hear that for obvious reasons. Like, we've worked hard to get certain channel mixes to work like this. And in my defense, read the rest of our blog. Like, we've been pretty transparent of what we do marketing wise. But one thing that I think we've talked about in previous episodes, I have the memory of a small rat, so I don't remember, but is just LinkedIn posting, like, organic. And I think we talked about just, like, our attempts at hiring at least one person or two people.
Yeah, and in the last episode, I think we talked about even doing a service around LinkedIn.
Yeah. And so we know that that is something that tends to work. And I keep thinking I have good things to write on LinkedIn, and I just haven't been. I haven't even been posting updates for when we release a new episode. And that's something that it's just, like, it's so dumb. Like, I feel like I could. The reason I say I have stuff is I do some of this, like, analysis to help some of our strategists that are, like, analytical, like, tracking growth graphs. We just were on a call this morning where I updated some growth graphs, and we had kind of an interesting conversation with a long-running good client on, like, an expanded deal. And even that could be a LinkedIn post. Right, remember that graph? But it was like slow growth, and then in the last few months it just, like, upped. And you could have a LinkedIn post on, like, look at what happens on SEO if you stick with it. You know,
you should do that.
I should, right? Like, that's a post. Like, I'm writing the post right now. But it's just, like, my day. So back to the challenges with these three new clients, and this hat I'm wearing of helping train new writers and strategists, I spend so much time editing our long form blog posts for clients, 2,000, 3,000 words, you know, and it's like close editing, Zoom calls, like going over what we're doing. And it's just like so much of my day is just like that, plus just scrambling to keep up with email and all the other to-dos or whatever, and then the day ends or whatever. And I'm sure everyone, you know, people listening, I'm sure, are going to have the same response that, like, everyone's going to have is like, Davish, why don't you just hire an editor? Which is something that you and I have fought about, so we'll just do it publicly on this. It is not easy to write, grow, and convert articles. That's the reason I'm spending so much time editing. If it was easy to write, grow, and convert level articles, we would have a bunch of writers that do it, because there's a million writers who have applied. Like, not a million. We have thousands of applicants on our spreadsheet, right? There are tons of freelance writers looking for work. It is very hard for us to find some that can write at our level. So, like, if we can't find writers that can write at our level, what is the argument? They're just these magical editors just, like, out in the, you know, in the ether that are just waiting that, you know, that for to, like, edit. To edit grow and convert level articles, you need to be able to write them. And that's not easy. And that's why I have split that task with David, where David does the recruiting. David was on a previous episode. And then he was like, look, like, I need, once they pass his test project and they're kind of good enough to test on a real thing, they still need coaching. And we were like, well, a lot of our existing strategists and all are now thriving, but I used to coach them, like, intensely back when we were smaller. So let's go back to that. So I feel like that actually is an important hat for me to be wearing. You know, the whole thing is, like, if you're an owner of a business, you should do the, like, the hard things that no one else can do and outsource the rest or delegate the rest. This is the hard thing that no one else can do.
Yeah, I don't believe no one else can do it, I think. I think
I don't mean that literally.
I know, but I just think this is a huge bottleneck and we have to solve this at some point. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to scale. And so if you just flip that mindset to it can't happen to, okay, where do I find an editor? And yeah, they're not going to be good right from the get-go, but what if you just train someone to edit the same way that you would train a writer? Like, someone has to be able to do it. Like, I've had people in the past rip my articles to shreds that know nothing about what I'm talking about. And I think it's the same thing if we were to find a really good structural editor. Even if they don't know the subject matter, they can just know if something doesn't make sense or just how to poke holes in arguments. And there has to be people out there that can do that.
Yeah. My hypothesis, so that people listening aren't like, what is David saying? He's just going to do this forever. What an idiot. First of all, I might be an idiot. You might not be wrong. Second, my hypothesis is that it would be someone that we already trained internally to be a writer. That it's like, if you're going to be a good editor for Grow and Convert pieces, you first need to be a good writer for Grow and Convert pieces. So it'd be someone who has the proclivity. Just like David is doing all this recruiting. I realized the episode with David was about updating, but aside, he does all of our, like, recruiting and training of initial writers. He just happens to like that. He was like, no, I like it. I like to mentor them. And so he wants to do that. And if the problem is editing kind of sucks, like, it's hard. And I think basically every single person on our team is like, I don't want to edit if I don't have to. So, like,
yeah, but again, there's people that do love editing. Like, that's their whole job. There's editors. So we need to go find those people. I think part of the challenge that we have is that people on our team wear a lot of hats. Like, they start as a writer, then some people move to strategists, then some people move to do editing. And those are all completely different skill sets.
Yes, writing and strategists are very, they have a lot of overlap. I would not say people on our team wear a bunch of different hats. I would say the majority is writers who then, yeah, and strategists. And strategists also write themselves. They just also do the rest of our process. And they sort of self-select. You're right. Let's zoom in on what you're saying. I think what you're getting at is when they transition from writer to strategist, they have to edit someone else's writing if they want to use other writers.
And someone can write themselves but not be good at providing feedback.
We have very good strategists on our team that have been with us for years who have said, like, I'm not editing. I hate it.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Like, I don't know how to rip someone's article apart. Like, it's just not my skill set. But again, there are people that do have that skill set, that's what they're really good at. So where are those people? I think the problem is we haven't even attempted to go hire someone.
You're right on that, is that I have shut it down from the beginning because I'm like, this is just makes no sense and it's not going to work. So what are you saying? Like, we create a job posting, like looking for an editor, editor for marketing?
Yeah, maybe. Like, we've never even tried it. How can we just dismiss that there's not one person out there that can do what you do?
Well, but then they would have to be trained to, like, first write, grow, and convert pieces.
Fair. Which I mean, we're doing that anyways, but instead of training someone to become a writer or a strategist, well, why not train them to take over what you're doing?
Yeah, so if we... So you're saying basically, look, I agree with you. This editor would have to be able to, if needed, they would have the skill, have to have the skills to be able to write a grow and convert client piece on their own. Otherwise, like, how can you edit? So you're like, fine, but you will train them in that the way you train any other writer. But if they came in, like the job posting they read or whatever was came in with the intention of ultimately being an editor, then maybe that brings in a different type of person.
Yeah, it does. Because also it would just help in other ways. They could mentor writers. If they were truly good at this, they're going to help with writer training as well because they know what we need, what we're looking for. I think it helps solve multiple problems. And I think just right now, you're the bottleneck. We're time limited because you only have so many hours in the day. And as we grow accounts, this need becomes even more pronounced. So...
Yeah, back on the lead thing, like I do sometimes, and this could just be like some fantasy in my head, I think like, what would it be if I just posted a really good LinkedIn post 3 times a week? Like Monday, Wednesday,
I know. Friday. I mean, I don't even have the time problem. I just hate LinkedIn so much that it just like repulses me to even log into the platform.
Yeah, you do have to kind of like just draft it and not look at everyone else's like inane postings on there that like say the same cliche thing, but it's like presented in like a really kind of supposedly profound way.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened because I feel like when we started the business, I used to love being on social and just posting stuff and sharing my learnings. And I think now being this far into it, I have like a hatred of it. I don't know why. What's
changed? I think we've seen a lot of data on what works. We've done a lot of this work. We're like living and breathing it, and we have for years and years. And so then when we have people just like sort of doing this random pontificating with no data to back it up, it's annoying because you're like, what? Have you even tried that? We've like anyone who's actually done the work would know that that's false.
Yeah, I like hate getting into the arguments on LinkedIn. It's like try to comment on someone. You're like, yeah, this is incorrect. And then they want to go back and forth. I'm just like, I don't even have the patience for it.
I don't know if I follow this guy, but there was a guy that showed up on my feed the other day that was like, you know, helping businesses blow up their marketing with AI. And he was basically, there was this post that he was like, today in modern times, you can produce. And it was like original music, writing, this, that, and the other at exceptional quality. All with AI without humans. And I was like, no, you cannot. That's not true. AI writing is like, people laugh at it because it's so bad. They're just done by like affiliate marketers and people trying to take shortcuts to write it. Like, I'm going to publish 3,000 blog posts. I mean, hey, some of it might work, but that's not what we do. Okay, so that's my challenge is like, I think there's maybe yet another channel in LinkedIn Organic. And every time I say to myself, okay, I'm going to post these posts. The second thing is like publishing a good LinkedIn post. I keep thinking, oh, it's like 15 minutes of my day between some meetings or something. It takes a while.
Like, yeah, you have to think of the idea, draft it. Then there's usually some image or something you need to create. It's a decent amount of work.
So it takes more time than I think. Yeah. I don't know. Anything else on your side?
I mean, I think that's probably the biggest thing on the marketing side. The other thing is just getting our own rankings up. We've invested in a lot in content over the last year. And there's a lot of things that are ranking, but still, I think it's been an uphill battle just because of how competitive our space is. So just trying to think of different ways that we can either produce new articles that rank or just get the existing content that we've produced up. So either updating past posts or building more links to some of our pieces of content. That and just ads. Ads keep working for us. And so, yeah, I think what I'm thinking about a lot is just the balance between our own SEO content and ads. I mean, they're working together and both are driving leads, but.
But you mean how much dollars a month?
Yeah, do we shift more? Yeah, I mean, we've just been spending a lot more on content than we have on ads, but ads has been driving some pretty good leads lately. And so just thinking, do we shift some budget away from link building to ads or vice versa? It's tough because one's building the long-term game and one's bringing in short-term leads. So I still think there's value in building the long game. Like there's been one post that we produced 2 years ago that's just on the cusp of ranking for on page one. And it's been an uphill battle. It's a super, 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 super competitive bottom of the funnel keyword. And so it's just time. It's building links over the last 2 years. And when it first started, it was in position like 70 and now it's in 14. And so like now I finally feel like we're making progress. It's just, yeah, it takes time.
I mean, the flip side of this, as per my challenge, is like, imagine if we were getting on this update and we were like, we closed three more clients in February.
Yeah, it would be stressful.
What would I do?
But again, I think that's why we need to solve that issue like now, because if we do close five more clients, I don't get how it's sustainable with you doing all the editing and training.
Yeah, I mean, it's an issue. And even if I were to like stop this recording and immediately start working on quote unquote finding an editor, like that's not something that's going to
happen overnight.
It takes time.
Yeah. So we should start that now. I mean, maybe if anything, this, like, I didn't even think we were going to really go here in this episode, but it is probably the biggest issue, even more so than leads, because we need to be able to service the leads. And unless we solve this problem in the near future, let's say in the 3 to 6 months, I don't know how we keep growing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just push myself until I'm really angry and start yelling at everyone.
Yeah. That's not sustainable.
But yeah, no churn is good. And we have a bunch of active conversations and there are just months like this where like you got good leads, you know, various little things, delayed deals or makes them not qualified or you don't really want to work with them. And then you're just, you know, you have a bunch of things in the pipeline and you're waiting. That's normal.
Yeah, but again, I think bigger than that, even than, yeah, each of these monthly recaps is about growing. But I think more important to the business right now is solving this problem. Like, I think that's going to unlock more growth. Yeah, instead of servicing new accounts, we need to solve this problem ASAP. To be able to service the new accounts.
If you like this video, don't forget to subscribe. You can also get the audio only versions of these shows wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us at growandconvert.com/newsletter for any articles and updates for when these videos come out.